Welcome to the America's Jobs Team podcast. Every week, we dive deep with economic development professionals on leadership and other issues challenging our industry. Our goal is to equip listeners with the knowledge to grow their impact and influence. You are America's Jobs Team, and when you get stronger, communities thrive. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. I am Faye Davis. I am here today with Carla Soans, and we are talking about maximizing productivity. And everything we talk about can be really implemented either on an individual or a team level. So today's conversation has a little bit for everybody. So Carla, as a point leader, you have already figured out your own systems to stay as productive as possible. But how do you help your team plan and prioritize and streamline for their own productivity?
Wow, Faye, that's a
loaded question.
It's a loaded question. I feel like it's always evolving, but I think it at the center of it all is it's about time management for everyone on your team. And that starts with really being aware of when your most productive hours are and cherishing them, like holding on to them like they are the last few dollars in your wallet. You hang on to things that matter real tight.
You gotta spend them well.
Yes. And so you have to make time for that work, and that you setting aside that time is what matters. So my suggestion, and what I always tell people, you know, when they are starting to feel overwhelmed, because a lot of times when you realize you're not managing your time well, it's because there's either breakdowns in communication or you're starting to feel overwhelmed. And those are the moments where you have to do that reset of, you know, what's important right now, and am I blocking out time for those things? And that changes over time. Like a project that's really hot right now might be in a lull 2 weeks from now, and your priorities have to shift a little bit to move on to something else, or something else takes priority. And if you don't make time in your calendar for those shifts in priority, then they don't just naturally take care of themselves. They might for a little while. And we just talked about this morning, where some things happen seasonally, right? You go through a season where you're like, I can keep up this pace for a season, and I can work like this for a season. But once that season becomes standard,
forever.
Yeah, like that's the new norm, you have to take a look at the inventory of your work and ask yourself the hard question of, I'm doing a lot of things. What are the things that I am most important? And then you have to prioritize that time. So, you know, write down the things you should be doing that you aren't getting to. What are the items on your to-do list that you should be doing that they would make the work better, easier, would make the most impact on the mission, would make you feel like you accomplished something that was transformational? It would give you energy. What are those things? And if you see it, then you have to make time on your calendar for it. And then you have to honor the time.
That's a big one.
This is hard. You have to honor it. You have to cherish it. You have to hold on to it when you do set that time for it.
Well, and for someone in your position, right, for a point leader, you can keep yourself busy all day long with all of these little tasks. But there are other people who could do those things for you, because we need you to focus your time on the really big things, on those really big projects that are transformational for our organization.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's hard because oftentimes you graduate into like being a point leader or a team leader or a manager, you know, whatever name your organization calls it. But you got to that place through, you know, the merit behind your own work, like executing well. And so we all get to the places that we end up, the roles that we're in, because we were really good at something. We have skills, strengths, talents, and those are the things that we don't like to leave behind, because usually we're good at them, and where you are confident, you want to stay. And also, they give you energy. Like I am a strong executor. It is who I am. I like to check boxes off of a list. And so sometimes I'll find myself holding on to tasks that I should delegate, when really I liked doing them because they were a quick win. Mm-hmm. But that does not mean that that's what I should be doing. And it's time sometimes to graduate and delegate. And delegation, we could talk a whole nother podcast about that. But in order to maximize your productivity, you have to be willing to leave some things behind and get uncomfortable with delegating them to somebody else who you may find does them better than you do.
100%. All right. I totally interrupted you in your train of thought.
No.
What else can people do to help their team plan, prioritize, and streamline for productivity?
You know, I think that it's really important to clarify expectations. We're all looking for leadership in terms of how to prioritize our time. And even if you have a really good gut instinct of how to do that, always having somebody alongside you that can validate that, yes, that is what I need you to do. That is where you should prioritize your times, I think is really good. So it's a role as a point leader or a manager to make sure that your team understands what your expectations are and what you need them to do so that they can then set their individual priorities and expectations. And you will find that that also makes it easier for you to prioritize your time when you are with people. Shared goals, shared priorities make communication easier. It makes starting any meeting easier when you know what the goal is. And then I think we talked about communication last week. You should check that episode out if you didn't listen to it last week. But communication is so important and just continuing that communication always. And then, you know, rethinking meetings. And this is a hard one because whenever you start a meeting and you're getting a group of people together, you always start to figure out like, what is the cadence of when we should meet, right? And we forget that teams evolve. And so the cadence that's often started when a team forms is not the cadence that you might need once you kind of hit your stride. So you have to keep reassessing and not get so attached to time on a calendar that you meet, but there's no real clarity behind what you're meeting for. And so the best meetings are always the meetings that have been structured well, that somebody is setting aside time to determine what the agenda is for that meeting. What's the goal? What do we hope to accomplish? And they're breaking it down into the bite-sized pieces that fit into a meeting time. And then making sure that the people in that meeting are prepared to be involved in that agenda, not just showing up to a meeting to receive, but to participate. And that takes some preparation. From somebody thinking through that meeting. So just having that clearly defined goal. And, you know, we struggle on that too. I mean, it's something it requires that self-check-in. When you constantly start thinking like, do I need to be at this meeting? That's a really good sign that maybe the meeting itself needs to be refreshed, updated. Maybe you don't meet as often. Maybe it needs a reset in the goals. Maybe it needs to be disbanded. Maybe the work is done and you need to shift on to something else. So I think, you know, rethinking meetings. And lastly, I will just say, if you're really trying to think through how to prioritize and streamline your productivity, you have to be wary about overcommitment. And I am my own worst enemy in this. I think I can fit so much more into a day than is even possible. I wake up every day and think, I can fit that in. Oh, sure, I can take that phone call. And by the end of the day, you realize you're just a little bit overcommitted. And that means you're not always as present. You're certainly not as productive. And it's not the best for your team either. So if you really want to help your team and yourself to prioritize so that you can be more productive with the goal of productivity in mind, focus and not overcommitting.
These are some really great action tips. And some of this advice really starts to stray a little bit into team culture as well. You know, talking about organizational culture. I know that in and of itself is a topic that we can spend literally hours talking about. But can you give a little bit of insight how an organizational culture can drive more productivity?
Sure. Well, I mean, there's a lot of research. I mean, I'm a strengths junkie, a Gallup strengths junkie. So if you look at all of the research behind engaged you know, workers, engaged environments, organizations, you'll see that they are more productive. I mean, there's statistics out there to back that if you are highly engaged in the work, you're going to be more productive. And if you're highly engaged in the culture, you're going to be more likely to be highly engaged in your work and thus more productive. So there's a lot of evidence there. And that means I think it's fascinating because if you're engaged in the work, you're not just showing up every day because you have to. And this doesn't mean that you don't sometimes on Mondays be like, oh gosh, like the weekend was too short. Like, you know, let's be real and be honest, but you are still excited about the work. When you start working on it, you're kind of excited about it and you're more committed to it because you're doing it alongside other people that are highly engaged. And there's that shared sense of commitment. And that means that you're willing to do things that a person who's not as engaged wouldn't be willing to do. You might be willing to give up a little bit of your lunch hour. You might be willing to start early and stay a little bit later because you really are excited about the work that you're doing. And that's what a highly engaged culture produces, is team members that are so all in that your conversations shift to like, how do we make sure you're not going to burn out? And how do we keep you in this prime place of where you're so excited about the work that we're not talking about how to get more out of you. We're talking about how to put guardrails around you to protect your energy.
I think that's really fascinating too, because I, from my own perception working in economic development, I think economic development organizations have a little bit of a leg up because our missions are, they're noble, they're for the greater good of the community. It automatically for most people creates like that connection to the mission because you're doing so much good in your community. So I think that's a really fascinating point for economic development organizations specifically, but we still have to be very intentional about the rest of the organizational culture as well.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, one of the things I've noticed about economic development organizations is that because they are all structured so differently across the country, there's no one organization that looks just like another. So that makes it sometimes hard to benchmark, like, how is your team doing? Because your team might be structured so different than everyone else. So you have to look at your own culture. Don't try to be somebody that you aren't. Look at your own culture and start from there. And it's really built around a foundation of trust and giving people permission to make decisions. And that doesn't just happen. That's built on a foundation of trust. So taking the time to build that trust between team members is always how you have to start any type of, you know, cultural conversation. You can't build a great culture without trust. It will fail every time. But part of what I've learned about economic developers is there is this competitive spirit.
Everyone has that.
You know, you feel like where you are working right now, the community that you live in, you feel like there's a competitive edge and reason why other companies should locate there, should live there. Why should people come live there? You live that, you breathe that, and you almost in some cases become so competitive that you see it creep almost outside of this like us versus them in terms of like our community versus another community to almost like what I'm doing is the most important thing of the organization. And that can create some competition even within an organization. Economic development is so complex that you can't go all in one area without sacrificing in somewhere else. And so making those decisions of where to invest every dollar always feels a little bit competitive when it comes to your colleagues, because are we investing in workforce or are we investing in marketing? And people have feelings each way because you're really passionate about what you do. And so in order to kind of walk through that and to be able to navigate those healthy, I think very healthy tensions, you have to have trust. And you cannot navigate those types of tensions where people's passion, their motivation, their reason for coming every day. When you have that on the table to discuss, you can't do that unless there's a healthy culture. It will just stifle productivity if you don't talk about it, but you can't talk about it if you don't have culture. So if you really want to be productive, you have to start with, do we have the culture in which I can be honest? Can we have hard conversations? Can I advocate for myself and support you? And are we building that on a foundation of trust? And if you're sitting here today thinking, gosh, like, I don't know if we do, then I think it's a really good time to engage with your team around if we could do better. Like if we had the ability to reset today and make our work and our impact even more incredible than what we're doing right now, what would we do? What would we need to do? How would we need to interact with one another? What would that look like? What would healthy look like in a team meeting? What would highly engaged feel like in a team meeting?
I think that is the million-dollar question. That's what all organizations strive for. But building that team culture, as we've learned in our organization, it's not a stop. It's not a mountaintop that you hike up towards. It is a forever journey because it has to be worked on at all times.
You're exactly right. It's a forever journey, and it's a forever journey because conditions change and people change and everything is always evolving. So you can have it going 1 minute and a simple change in, you know, unemployment numbers can rattle things up, or a change in a staff person. And it doesn't matter at what level of an organization, any type of change can place some type of threat on your culture. So you have to be really intentional about being on that journey, not just doing it to check a box and have the conversation, but really truly being on the journey where you are committed to prioritizing that. If you want to be productive, your culture and your relationships at work with the people who are on the mission with you has to be a priority.
Yes. Carla, it has been another enlightening and wonderful conversation with you. Do you have any other thoughts, some final insights to wrap up today's episode?
No, I just think, you know, this is a topic, Faye, as we start to dive into organizational culture that I think is really important for economic development organizations. And I'll just end by saying that it's easy to look at it and say, like, that's not my responsibility because I'm an economic development team within a larger, let's say, city or chamber, or I'm just one part of the economic development team and I'm, you know, leading a couple of people or I'm participating in a team. But great culture starts at all levels of the organization. So if you're feeling that restlessness as you listen to this about like, gosh, like, I don't know if it's my responsibility, I just encourage you to, you know, have the conversation with your leadership about how you can begin the journey. And that starts, sometimes individuals start and then the teams form after, and sometimes leadership starts and individuals jump on as the team starts going. There's no great way that it always all works out perfectly, but somebody has to start.
Yep. And that the hardest part can be starting. Just
the
getting
hardest
that
part
bravery.
Is always starting.
Yes. Yeah. Always. Well, Carla, thank you again. And to our listening audience, we appreciate you tuning in again today. And we'll catch you again next week.
Thanks for sticking with us to the very end. And again, a huge thank you to our sponsors, Research on Investment and Gazelle AI. The America's Jobs Team podcast releases episodes every week that are specifically curated for economic developers like you looking to stay in the know about industry trends, leadership development, career management, growing high-performing organizations, and so much more. So don't forget to subscribe. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon Podcasts, or really any other preferred podcast outlet that you use. America's Jobs Team is audio engineered by Joshua Wieters and produced by Faye Davis.